This is Tall Tales Time, legends of long ago, stories from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, the woman they almost hanged. It's the dramatic story of a beautiful woman who turned against the land of her birth and became a spy, only to be forgotten in her old age and left to die in poverty, far away from the scenes of her exciting youth. It's a few weeks before Christmas in the year 1893. Winter fog wreaths the city of San Francisco. On her hands and knees, an old woman listens to the chimes as she scrubs the floor of a hotel lobby.
Do they still ring the bells at midnight in New Orleans, I wonder? Can it be 40 years since I've heard them? Almost a lifetime. I used to listen for them. I could hear them, even above the applause and the shouting. Oh, but I've been singing all evening. You must be tired of me by now.
Oh, no, no. One more, please.
Just one, then. I'll sing until the church bells ring.
Come before we can hear the bells.
Young Molly, who lived at the foot of the hill, whose babe every virgin with envy doth fill,
true to that promise. When the bells rang out, I stopped singing. I guess it's the damp floor. Well, I'm almost done scrubbing. If I could just get home and rest. If I could just get home.
She died with the sound of the bells ringing in her ears. A woman of 60, one of the nameless ones who slip away from life all but unnoticed. 40 years before, she was the toast of the variety halls in New Orleans, a dark-eyed, black-haired beauty, a star. Her name, Pauline Cushman. Was at its loudest for Pauline Cushman in those hectic, tragic years between 1861 and 1865. Her gypsy beauty glowed behind footlights in theaters all over the South. She danced and sang her way into the hearts of the Confederacy, and she betrayed dozens of the South's most closely held secrets to Union officers. Behind her gaiety, she lived a life of tangled lies, and always there was the shadow of the hangman's rope. If she failed.
Rope hangs a man, oh, slack it for a while. I think I see my father coming, riding many a mile.
Pauline Cushman died, forgotten and penniless, in San Francisco in 1893. 8 words were carved on her tombstone. Pauline Cushman, federal spy and scout of the Cumberland.
Sit down, Miss Cushman. This is quite an honor. The toast of Louisville, Kentucky, the star of the show at Woods Theater, here in a Yankee Provost Marshal's office. What can I do for you?
It was nearing midnight, early in January 1863. Louisville was in federal hands. A grim-faced man in a blue uniform faced Pauline Cushman, wary of this beautiful woman, wondering at her mission, questioning her motive in coming to his office. Pauline sat back, outwardly at her ease, but hiding great excitement.
Perhaps you've seen my play, Colonel Sharp. In the last act, I drink a toast.
I'm sorry I haven't seen your performance. This is a busy job, you know.
No matter. I can describe the scene easily enough. Near the end of the play, I open a bottle of champagne on the stage and drink a toast. A toast to the Union, Colonel Sharp.
I see. A popular moment, I should judge.
It is. And a toast of which I'm proud, Colonel. If I were not, I should not be here talking with you.
But you are. And why, Miss Cushman?
Because of something that happened tonight at the theater. After the performance, two men came backstage to see me. They asked me to drink that toast, not to the Union, but to the Confederacy.
Do you know who these men are?
Two Confederate officers, Colonel Sharp. Prisoners of war, but paroled, and allowed the freedom of the city, apparently.
Parolees, I see.
It seemed a strange thing to me. Prisoners, free to roam.
What did you tell them, Miss Cushman?
I told them I would consider their request.
Would you?
I had not one intention of doing so, Colonel.
Why not?
Why, if I should utter such a toast on the stage of a public theater, I would be... Well, I might be driven off the stage and out of Louisville itself.
What you say is true. It would cause quite a scandal.
And cost me my role in the play, and perhaps my very livelihood anywhere.
Not anywhere, Miss Cushman.
What do you mean, Colonel Sharp?
Once the gesture became known in the South, you would be a very popular woman, a heroine, at least to the Confederacy. And there are playhouses in the Confederate States.
Go South? Why, I'd be going to enemy country.
Exactly.
Why should I do such a thing?
For us.
You mean for information?
We need it.
But I'd be a spy.
That would be your job. Still, who could possibly suspect? You were born in New Orleans, I believe.
Yes, my father was a merchant there. And then when I was 11 years old, we moved away, up north to a trading post in Michigan.
But you went back to New Orleans one day.
I was in New York. I was just turned 18, and in my first play, I sang a song.
Is thine eyes rose of summer, let blooming alone, all her lovely companion are faded and gone.
Mr. Thomas Placide of New Orleans offered me a contract with his Variety Theater there, and I accepted. He made me a star.
And you acted all over the South. New Orleans, Richmond, Atlanta, Charleston, Nashville.
Those cities and many more.
Miss Cushman.
Yes?
Comply with a Confederate officer's request. Tomorrow night, when you open that bottle of champagne in the last act of your play, drink a toast to the Confederacy. Let it ring out.
In spite of what may happen?
In spite of what may happen. The toast will stamp you as a Southern sympathizer. Then we shall see what we shall see.
What's this? Champagne? Then we must have a toast. Gentlemen, I give you the Confederate States of America. I did as you instructed, Colonel Sharp. And now I'm without a job.
You were fired.
Before the sunrise, the manager was quite unpleasant about it.
I can imagine. Are you sorry?
No. No, I'm not. But I am half afraid to show my face in Louisville. You should have heard them last night, booing and shouting. Rebels picking fights with Union soldiers.
I saw I was there. You are most convincing, Miss Cushman.
What now, Colonel Sharp?
Miss Cushman, Louisville is filled with paroled Confederates. We can't hold all of them in prison, not nearly enough, as a matter of fact. The two men who visited you at the theater, they may be ringleaders of a group passing information. Meet them again. Through them, you will see many more Confederates. Listen and learn what you can. I have managed to find you a job as a cafe singer at a place much frequented by the Confederates. It will be the hub of your operation.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer and the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
Pauline Cushman took the step that would set her forever against the South. Cloaked in black, her dark beauty hidden under heavy scarves, she hurried to carry messages to Colonel Sharp. Names, faces, statistics stored in her agile brain. She stopped at his office door, knocked softly.
Miss Cushman, what has happened? This is only Tuesday. I didn't expect you to see you again until Friday.
Let me come inside.
Of course. What is it?
I've been offered roles at a theater in Nashville. I don't know what to do.
Splendid. Nashville is practically on the front lines. You can do us far more service there. You must go. Accept at once.
But who will receive the information? It's too risky to write.
I will set the man's name on this slip of paper. Memorize it and then burn the paper.
William Truesdale, Chief of Police, Army of the Cumberland. I have it.
Burn the paper now. I have telegraphed him. He expects you.
So soon?
There is no time to waste.
Then, goodbye, Colonel Sharp.
Goodbye. One thing, Miss Cushman.
Sir?
Always be on your guard. You may think of yourself as a patriot, but to the other side, you're only one thing, a spy. Goodbye, Miss Cushman, and good luck.
A delegation of cheering rebel officers saw her off on the train for Nashville. The business of being a spy had ceased to be a game. Pauline Cushman was deeply enmeshed in a dangerous drama, a matter of life and death.
Slack your rope, hangs a man. Oh, slack it for a while. I think I see my mother coming, riding many a mile. Home.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tonight you heard the opening chapter of the story we call The Woman They Almost Hanged. Next week, you'll hear the outcome of this dramatic, real-life story of Pauline Cushman, who spied for the Union in the heart of the Confederacy. Here is an announcement of interest to all Tall Tales listeners. In cooperation with the Tennessee State Library, Tall Tales is making available to its listeners a reproduction of the oldest map of Tennessee in existence. Printed on parchment-like paper suitable for framing, this Tall Tales map will be of interest to young and old alike. For your copy, send your name and address to Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee. There is no charge whatever. Only your name and address on a postcard will bring your copy. But there are only a limited number of these maps available, so send for yours now. This offer may be withdrawn without notice. Send your name and address to Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee, and receive absolutely free your copy of this map of Tennessee, the oldest one in existence. That address again, Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee. Tall Tales was written by Bill Woolsey and comes to you every Tuesday evening at this same time. The part of Pauline Cushman was played by Sylvia Stallman. Others in the cast were John Murray and Robert Goldman. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, in Nashville, Tennessee. Don't miss Lux Radio Theater tonight at 8 on WSM. Tonight's story is The Bishop's Wife, starring Cary Grant and Phillips Thaxter. That's Lux Radio Theater tonight, 8 o'clock on WSM.